Hey, you know the scoop, and I'm here this time with Rod Burton. Rod, how you doing, man?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
I am doing wonderfully. It is a great time of year. I'm excited. A lot of great things going on in my world. But you have something really neat, and that is an album that you have out right now. And we want to share that with everybody listening. Tell everybody, first of all, when you go in and say, listen, I'm going to do a new album, what is the first step for you? Where do you start collecting songs, obviously, from people. But do you have somebody you go to first and say, hey, listen, I'm going to do this album. Shoot me some songs.
Well, yeah, I guess the first thing in the process for me is to kind of determine what the theme of the project will be. And typically it's something that God's just laid on my heart, a particular message, a particular theme, a particular way of wanting to relay the message of the overall project. As was the case in this latest project, is called The Difference. And I wanted to do a project that basically contains songs that either had a message that made a difference in my life, or maybe the song was an older song that really ministered to me or really meant something to me throughout my life. So that's the first step. And then the second step is I've got a group of folks that I typically will reach out to and say, hey, I'm looking for some songs. Shoot me some ideas. And, you'll start getting a whole list. You'll get the emails popping in with, the 10 meg attachments of song samples, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's typically where I'll start first, is just kind of go to my bench and say, hey, I'm looking for songs, and shoot me some over.
And, I've listened to demos before, and if you've never had a chance to listen to a demo, they can sound nothing like the song we'll finish like. I mean, it can be a complete, it's one person usually with a guitar or something singing it. So you have to be kind of, thinking out of the box kind of thinking. Don't you agree when you listen?
Yeah, no, you do. And at least for me, and I think for a lot of other artists I've talked to as well, I'm looking more for the message of the song. And what I hear in the demo likely won't be the same way, the same arrangement, the same feel, the same groove that the demo sends. Occasionally it is, but usually it's a totally, totally different feel. So I'm listening for the message of the song. I'm listening to see what does it feel like, what is the message, how does it speak to me. And then typically I can listen to a demo for, the first minute or so of it and start to kind of get the message of what the writer was trying, where the writer was trying to go. And if I start hearing it in my head and it starts resonating with kind of what I'm trying to relay, then I know it's something I can work with. Otherwise, you can pretty well tell quickly that, okay, this isn't really what I'm looking for right now.
Right. And, it might be a song that later you'll pick up, but it's something that doesn't fit the album that you're working on right now. And I love the idea that you kind of come up with a theme first and then kind of fit around that. I think that's brilliant because...
Yeah, exactly. That fits what I like to do. It certainly fits... what I think the purpose of these projects, at least me, what the purpose of a project is to relay, what's on my heart at that time, where am I at maybe in life, or where am I at in, a particular circumstance or situation, and there's a message that we want to be able to, relay to folks and let it minister to them, and that's kind of where the theme comes in.
Now, I know you and your wife wrote a song together.
We did. It's not on this
not on the project.
Project.
No,
it's
no,
coming
but
up on a new one.
It is, but I just
yeah.
So you've kind of been diving into that part too.
We have on this project on The Difference. The very last track on there is the first song that I have sat down and wrote from start to finish by myself. And it's a song that that took me about 10 years to write, and I wrote it for my wife Kelly. And it's a song called The Light of My World. So it's not a typical, Christian church song, come up out of the ground kind of a thing, but, mm-hmm. but it is a song that talks about love and really kind of celebrates the love and the gift that God gave us in our relationship. So that's the first one of my songs that I put on a project, and we have just recently, after going to Columbia with Compassion International, we came back and wrote a song called From Hopeless to Hope.
Yes.
And it's something that's getting a lot of interest, and we're real happy about it.
It's very cool. And I do got to tell you, though, buddy, 10 years to do one song, we're going to have a little bit of a wait then to have a complete album with your project.
Well, that's the thing. And Hopeless to Hope actually came together in in about an hour or so. So I think I've gotten better. really and truly, the 10 years, I came up with a verse and a chorus to this song and you know, kind of played around with it for a long time. And I didn't finish the second verse of it until our little girl was born, until Miranda was born. And after she was born, one day I woke up and I had the second verse in my head, and I came down and wrote it down and sang it to Kelly, and she's like, "Yep, that's perfect. That's exactly what this song needed. That's what it needed to finish it." So, you know, the first song is about you know, the gift of love that she brought to me and the love that we shared and what God gave us in a relationship, and the second verse is about the gift of love that He gave us through our little girl Miranda. So that's why it took so long. We had to wait for the baby to come.
Well, and all teasing aside, which I was joking, there are a lot of artists, and I get a chance to talk to them, that are writers and stuff, where they have like half-finished songs that will sit 10, 15 years between, and then they'll all of a sudden finish them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've got several right now that we're working on, or that I'm working on, that are, you got a great start to it, or it's got a great hook, and it's something that you know will become a good song, but it's just not ready yet. It's kind of like, you know, it's cooking a good piece of meat. You got to cook it just to the right temperature, or else you just ruin it. So you don't rush it, and you don't wait too long.
That's it. And a lot of that, too, is just kind of what you had talked about with a theme. A song fits now for this album, might not fit later, and that's kind of what you're doing with this album. Tell us, I'm excited about some of the songs that are on here. Tell everybody some of the people that you had working with you on this album.
Well, from this album was actually the first on the New Hope Music Productions label, which is a label that I'm working with that I've helped kind of put together. I worked with Jason Webb on this. He was the guy who did all the tracks in the session. Jason is brilliant. I mean, he's one of these guys who I've known since he was a little kid, but I've had the pleasure of just watching him grow into this amazing musician and an amazing young man. And so he's just absolutely incredible. Duncan Mullins is on there playing bass, Duncan's played with, you know, everybody in the world. John Hammond, who was the drummer for Russ Taff Live on the Road, and who's done more session work on drums than probably anybody out there, I don't know. You know, he played on it. We had just some great players. Got to work with Adrian Payne, who's a fantastic producer down in Nashville, and he always does an excellent job on things. I love working with Adrian. Had some great background vocalists that I worked with. You know, Chris and Amy Unthank of Sunday Edition, and then a couple other folks that just came on and did some amazing work. And there's this one guy, this one kind of unknown guy that came and did some background vocals with me on a song.
And I'm glad.
You may have heard him. His name is Russ Taff. I think that's it.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you gave him a break.
You know, I felt bad for the guy. He's like, "Hey, come over and sing on this project with me." Now, I had decided that I was going to do a remake of Watergrave from the, like, 79-80 Imperials album that Russ did. And Russ is a friend, and when we were talking one day, and I said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to recut this song." He said, "Oh, that's cool." And I said, "You want to come over and do some background vocals on the chorus? I just wanted to do some ad-lib kind of stuff on it." And he said, "Yeah, sure, I will." And we got in the studio, and I started listening to him do his stuff. And then I'm like, "Hey, why don't you take the second verse and just, you know, do the second verse?" And I've never seen anybody in the studio with so much intensity as Russ. I mean, he's an amazing, amazing vocalist. Mm-hmm. And so it turned out really well. It's exactly what I wanted it to be.
And it's nice to be able to work with people like that. I think we can always learn. I think we can always, I'm a person with broadcasting that I'll be around people that have done it and done it better than I am. I'm just like a sponge. I'll sit there and go, "Okay, so that's how you do it." And
learn. Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I think it's great. And your voices, you know, and if you haven't heard the song, you guys need to find it, go to Rod's site, download, you know, the album, or get the album somehow.
You go to rodbertmusic.com, you go to iTunes, you can go to all those places that you can go to get music. It's all out there. But yeah, listen to Watergrave. I think people really like it, especially if you were a fan of the song with the Imperials. Because Russ, you know, again, he's like you're saying, he's one of those people that I could sit and listen to all day long.
Yep.
Because he has such a vocal intensity that just amazes me.
And you guys worked so well together on the song. I heard the song, and see, one of the perks of being your friend, I heard the song before it was done even. I think I got a rough cut of it. And it just, it was so neat how your voices worked together. And it was a nice fit. It was one of those things you go, okay, this is really good stuff. And it was something different. And I like different. I'm into something to break the mold kind of thing. And so but yeah, give them the website one more time.
Yeah, it's www.rodburtonmusic.com, just all together. And there's a place there you can order, but you can also go through iTunes and CD Baby, and it's all over the place.
It's all over
there.
The place.
So pick up your copy today.
Okay, here we go. I've got a question for you. You got to tell me. I do these. I call them my five questions. It's one question, five. You get to answer it five times. So I guess it would be five answers, wouldn't it? Really, be that would be five questions.
Clear as mud.
I got to change that. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. I want your top five in this. Okay, ready?
All right.
I want the if you could be the front man for five bands, what five bands would you want to be the front man for? The lead singer, the guy that does it all. And they don't have to be Southern gospel groups. They can be anything you want. They could be groups that have long since faded from existence. But five groups that you'd want to be the front man for, starting with number five.
Number five, I would probably have to say I'm a big country fan.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the old country stuff I really like to listen to. So I would probably say some group like maybe Alabama or something like that.
That'd be cool.
I love those kind of harmonies that they had, and Randy Owens is an amazing vocalist, but, if he decided that he couldn't do it, but they wanted to put Alabama back together, that'd be cool with me.
Okay, so if that happens, you know where Rod is now. So, okay, that's
exactly,
number five.
Yeah. I'd be singing with Alabama.
So we're at five. Number four.
Number four would actually probably be a group like Journey. I love Journey.
So you want to be Steve Perry then?
Yeah, well, yeah. And the thing is, they would have to take this decidedly turn toward country, or else it would never work. I mean, I can't pull anything but country off. So they would have to say, yeah, well, I'm going to go do country. And they'd call me and say, hey, can you come sing? Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. So,
that would be my number four.
So if the guy that currently is working with Journey doesn't work out and they decide to go a country way, you're their man.
I'm the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So number three.
Number three, I would have to say, that's tough. It's not really a group anymore because they've kind of recently broken up with it, but... I'm a huge fan of Ronnie Dunn's, of Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn.
I think if I had to pick, like, the number one vocalist, have a male vocalist anywhere, it would be Ronnie Dunn. He's got an amazing voice.
Oh, he's so cool.
He is. He's so smooth, and he's got pipes that are just incredible. So I would say it would be a new group, a new duo, and no offense to Kix Brooks. He could still play guitar if he wants. I don't care. But, it would be Brooks and Burton, or it would be Dunn and Burton, I guess.
Dunn and Burton.
Dunn, or however it would be. So, yeah,
I think with all his CMAs and stuff, you probably let him be first.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to do the whole alphabetical thing, then
well, that's true.
You know, I'm just kind of trying to keep it right. But I would certainly give him the top billing. That would be okay with me.
Yeah, well, that would be cool. Okay, so we're up to number two.
Number two and number one are kind of shaky for me, but I would probably say number two, I would go with the Oak Ridge Boys.
Okay.
Again, back to my country thing, and I love, 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 love the Oak Ridge Boys. Dwayne mm-hmm. Allen, just a hero of mine and his ability and his, 40-plus years on the road doing this stuff, and his heart is as big as all outdoors. So if he decided, tomorrow that, hey, I need to stay home and eat Wheaties more and not be on the road so much, and he called me, then I'd say, okay, sure, I'll think about that.
I struggle with that one, yeah. That'd be cool to be on the road with them. I think they'd be a fun group.
It would be. I mean, we've gotten to know them a little bit, I got to tell you, just amazing, amazing guys with amazing hearts. So.
Okay, so that's number two, but could be number one. Okay, what's number one?
And my number one, I'd have to say if Uncle Bill Gaither called me, uh-huh. and said, hey, I need you to come do a stint with the Gaither Vocal Band, and I got to tell you, all bets are off. I'd be, I love doing solo stuff, but that would be something that would pull me over to say, yeah, I'll do a group.
But no, hold out though, because you want like some royalties off the homecoming thing.
You gotta... Oh yeah, I would have to get, you know, because I mean, you know, he's going to want a pretty face like mine.
Yeah.
You know, all over those videos.
So you want to hold out for some royalties.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll work on that after the show.
That's funny.
okay, and the other question that I love to ask people, because of we're Southern Gospel, and if we're Southern Gospel, that means we eat, which we do. I want to ask you, and you don't have to come up with five. I want three places when you guys are on the road, and you have a family, so I mean, and you take them with, which I think is awesome. Three places you like to eat, and you can name names because we're never going to get any money off of it anyway, so we
there
don't
you
care.
Go, yeah,
yeah, just go with it.
Well, I you know, my number one place that I think we probably visit most is Cracker Barrel, of course.
Of course.
Everybody goes to Cracker Barrel. I mean, you know, they get everything you need. It's all right there.
It's so true. And if you if you forget somebody's birthday, you got the gift right there. I've done that.
Perfect.
I
can
know.
Do that. You can do that. So that would be one of them. Another is Steak and Shake.
Uh-huh.
Because they're open 24 hours, man, most places. I mean, so, you know, if we're out someplace and it's a late concert, you know, or we're driving down the road someplace and it's time to eat, you can always whip into a Steak and Shake and eat. So
cheese
that's,
fries.
That's always nice.
That's all
right. I love the Frisco Melt. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But my favorite place, and we only are able to do this when we're in Branson, but there's a place in Branson called Chester's. It's this kind of small, known for their burger place, and it's an amazing burger. And yep. I love to go there because they've got these huge burgers, and I'm a carnivore extraordinaire. I'm easy to go out and eat with as long as it's a place that serves red meat. I don't really care what else they have. If they have red meat, I can go there.
That's it. In fact, you don't even need a potato or a salad or anything. Just
I know. Just bring the meat. Bring double portions of meat. I don't care. Just as long as it's red meat, I'm a happy guy.
So what do you have on your burger?
I pretty much everything except, you know, I don't like pickles. I'm not a pickle guy, but, you know, I like the typical, I like some kind of really good spicy, like a pepper jack cheese or something like that. And then your, you know, your typical tomato, less onion, and mayo, and ketchup, and mustard, and, mm-hmm. you know.
But no pickles,
stuff,
huh? No pickles, period, or just no
I
pickles?
I don't like any kind of pickly product.
How about olives, then?
Nope.
So on your nachos, you don't put any black olives?
Nope, not a bit. There's some jalapenos on there. I'm a happy guy, but yeah, you can have the olives. You can have all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but jalapenos are a pepper, so they really don't count as a pickle.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
just checking with you there, just making sure you knew. We clarified to those that didn't.
I'm online with you.
Okay, so we've gotten that out of the way. We know you're going to sing with more than likely with Gaither and eat at Cracker Barrel. So we've gotten those couple of things out of the way, and we've talked about the new album that's out. And want to encourage people again. I want to tell you to go and check out this album because it's a album from top to bottom that are songs that really touch lives. I am really, and I say this in all honesty, there isn't a song on there that doesn't have a great ministry feel to it, and that you really, I mean, grab the words from it, look them over, and say, wow, this really has something that. For everybody to be ministered to. I mean, whatever kind of situation you're going through right now, you're going to find in his songs some great stuff. And so
I appreciate that.
I want to encourage people to head to your website. Give it to them one more time, Rod.
It's www.rodburtonmusic.com.
That's it. And you can also download it at iTunes and get your stuff there and check out the website and find out where Rod's going to be. And definitely check him out in concert, going to be there, and you can say, of course, hello to his family, who, it's really neat, they get to travel with you most of the time, right? Not all the time.
Yeah,
but most.
almost always, you know, unless there's something special going on, we travel together. We got the two little girls, and then our older daughter, Paige, and we'll typically find us all running down the road together somewhere.
That's awesome, and your dog.
And the dog, yes.
Yes.
Sammy the Wonder Dog.
Sammy the Wonder Dog, so thank you, buddy, so much for hanging out.
I appreciate it, Rob. Take care, brother.